Welcome back to the Bearcat Tip-Off Talk podcast presented by Donahue Accounting Services. For friendly expert tax advice whenever you need it, come to Donahue Accounting Services. A leading accounting firm in Cincinnati, Ohio, our top-notch accountants strive to help you resolve all your financial and tax issues. Call Donahue Accounting Services today for a free consultation at 528-3982 or visit online DonahueAccountingService.com. I'm your host, Alex Meacham, former Bearcat basketball player from 1997 to 1999 under the Hall of Fame coach, Bob Huggins.
And I'm Neil Meyer with the Front Office News.
And I'm JT Smith, editor-in-chief of the Front Office News.
All right, fellas, we're back for another episode. Let's jump right into it. The Bearcats are currently 21-14 after beating San Francisco in overtime, 73-72. JT, thoughts on the Bearcats' performance?
Man, I feel if anybody had like a bad heart or something like that, or high blood pressure, or something that can be triggered by by anxiety, that was your game. Because the Bearcats, it was crazy. I feel like at first San Francisco, man, shot amazing. I feel like all they were hitting were threes. It was a 6 or 7 minute like period. I feel like they didn't make a layup or dunk. It was just all threes. And then, you know, Dan and CMOS, they did their thing. I thought CMOS played, well, maybe a second best game, or I guess his best game at fifth third, and then maybe his second best game as a Bearcat, you know, against San Francisco. I thought Dan was very good. He had a couple plays, but he made a lot of NBA-ish plays against San Francisco, and it was just, like, good to see. I thought Jizzle, he struggled a little bit on a shot early, but once he got going, he played very well as well. Day-Day had a rough game on the turnover side. He had a, what does I say, he had a Jameis Winston-esque type assist to turnover type thing. He had 8 assists, 7 turnovers. And I got a little joke about that, not joking on Day-Day, but I remember I had an intramural game like that back in the day where I was turning the ball over like crazy. Like it was real bad. So I kind of felt for him.
This is when you were in college?
Yeah.
Were you wearing a headband?
Yeah, you were rocking the headband.
Sure. I was turning the ball over. Like I was throwing that thing away. Like I had to have at least as many turnovers as him. I don't think I had as many assists, but I had the game winning assists. But I'll blame it on kicking it too much the night before.
Oh, that's what it was.
Yeah. Because normally I was like a poor man's Andre Miller.
I was a low level.
I was a low level Andre Miller. So, you know what I'm saying? But props to Dre Miller. But that was me. So I was like, damn, I've been through that before. I remember doing that. But they had a rough game, and then they were up by 9 with like two minutes, 21 seconds left, and then you let them tie it up. And as soon as Aziz missed that front end of the free throw, I knew the dude was gonna make the three, no matter who took it. It was just like writing was on the wall. But with all that, the Bearcats are just super resilient. As soon as you want to throw them in a dumpster. Damn. They like the Undertaker, bro. Like you can't.
They rise up.
Yeah, you throw a little dirt on there. You don't put. You know what I'm saying? It might be 7 nails. You need to do 10. You know what I'm saying? To seal that coffin, and they just pop up on your ass. You know what I'm saying? Pause, and they come back and win. So that was good because, you know, we had our players to watch. You know, Dan had a real solid game, but you know, John offensively didn't have a great game. He went 0-for-10. He had an 0-for, but I think he had 8 rebounds, 3 assists.
Nine and three.
Went 0-for. And, you know, I think if he makes 2 or 3, you know, I think they still pull it out easier. But at the end of the day, they just find a way, man. And that's what the Bearcats have been about all year. And I hope the people that had a minor heart attack are fine and ready to rock and roll on Saturday.
Yeah, I think resilient is the best word to describe this Bearcat basketball team. And Neil, quickly before I get into your thoughts on the game, any updates on Day-Day and his injury?
Yeah, so for those who weren't able to catch the game late last night, Day-Day Thomas went down late in the overtime period. I mean, we saw him kind of hobble off the court, but Wes Miller gave us an update after the game. He was not able to return to the game, so Wes Miller, we asked him about the injury. He said Day-Day was getting x-rays immediately after the game. It looked to be a foot injury. Wes Miller clarified that as well in the postgame, that he was getting x-rays on his foot. And he noted it kind of was serious right away. He noted that Day-Day Thomas is a guy who has been battling ailments all season, but you would have never known he was injured because he doesn't say anything, is how Wes Miller kind of described it in the postgame press conference. But it's definitely worrisome that they're doing x-rays right away. You kind of see it hobbling off the court. So no update as of right now. We do know the x-rays happened immediately after the game on Wednesday night, but they're still waiting to see his status versus Bradley on Saturday.
All right, so thoughts on the game, Neil?
Yeah, overall, Simas Ukosius. Let's talk about him first. Obviously, the man of the night. I think it's safe to say, like, this, over the course of the last month and a half, this is the Simas Ukosius that Bearcats fans were expecting to see all season. But just overall, like, you couldn't be any more prouder and happier for a guy like Simas Ukosius. Just think about everything he's been through this season. I know we've talked about it a couple times, but even Wes Miller clarified it last night was, man, just thinking, reflecting on the season, he gets a twisted ankle versus Howard. He gets hit by a car, gets a couple other nagging injuries throughout the season, and then he comes back over the last 2 weeks, puts up 31 versus West Virginia in the opening round of the Big 12 championships, where he buried 7 threes, which was a season high at that point and a career high for Ukosius, just to follow it up with a 28-point night versus San Francisco, where he shot 80% from behind the arc, guys, 8 for 10, including the game-winning three. And, I mean, it was kind of a gimme that everybody knew Ukosius was going to take that shot. But, I mean, it was pure butter right off his hand. Like, right when he released that ball, I think everyone had an idea that thing was falling. And to see him get the ovation from Fifth Third, the fans, the support, That's tremendous for him, especially after everything he's went through and battled through this season. So it was a very emotional kind of thing to see his hard work paid off. I mean, I'm thinking back like 3 months ago when that car wreck happened, there was a lot of questions that were unknown. Like, hey, what happened? Was he going to be able to be the same player he was? Was he going to ever return healthy? And to see him have the success after all that has paid off, it's fantastic to see. And he's a great guy off the court, very open. And just to see him kind of crack a joke, laugh with Coach Miller and talk about the trust that Coach Miller has in him. And throughout this season about how he went in depth into the post-game interview, Meech. I don't know if you guys have watched this. I know JT heard it. But Meech, he told people after the game that his trust in Coach Miller has been fantastic to see. And he said sometimes that Coach Miller has more trust in him than he does himself. And after an early stretch of the season where he's battling those injuries, those nagging little things that all add up, to see him come back out, have his hard work paid off for, that was a great sight to see. It was a great, like, 5 to 6 minute interaction in the press conference between Wes Miller and Simas Ukosius. But then overall, you guys talked about John Newman. His offensive game, 0 for 10. But despite going 0 for 10, he really made up for it on the defensive end. And that was 9 rebounds, 3 assists. I thought things could have been better on the offensive end, but getting a night like that out of the defensive end, just imagine if a couple shots fallen earlier, things could have been different and maybe ended a lot earlier. But overall, still a great defensive showing from John Newman. And then Dan Skillings, when I actually filmed a Bearcats Blitz show prior to this game, and I was talking with Terry Nelson, who was my guest this week, and we were talking about how this could be a game where Dan Skillings could get 5 field goal attempts in the opening segment. If you go back and look at the stats from that night, what exactly happened? Dan Skillings continued to be aggressive early, got to his spots, made an impact to get downhill and really alter the offensive game. Finished with 16 points, 8 rebounds. I thought Dan Skillings had another great night. But overall, San Francisco, you guys got to give them credit. That was a very well-coached team, a very good team. And we talked about it on the preview with how well that team is. Jonathan Mogbo, I'll be the first to say I don't think he'll be at San Francisco next year. Can't confirm nor deny anything, but he is probably one of the only one of 10 players in all of college basketball to average a double-double. And Cincinnati held him to, I believe it was, looking at the stats right now, they held him to 10 points and 10 rebounds and 7 assists. He almost put up a triple-double, which is something that hasn't been done in quite a while at Fifth Third Arena. But the thing that hurt Cincinnati was the bench players for San Francisco. Malik Thomas was a guy averaging 11 points per game heading into last night. Comes in and puts up 31 where he shoots 5 of 7 from behind the arc. Overall, that's a performance where you're like, oh, okay, haven't seen this one all season. But overall, it's a great win. It's still a great win. That's a very good San Francisco team. But now they quickly turn their faces or towards their focus to Bradley on Saturday, which we'll get into later. But there's a lot of connection with this Bradley team. So I think we got a great one on hands. But I think it was great to get that first one to fall. Despite it going to overtime, I wish they would have closed it out at the end of regulation. But I hope nobody's pacemakers or anything went off in Fifth Third Arena, as JT mentioned, with anxiety. Hope everyone was able to enjoy it. Came down to you're up 9, go to overtime. And it was an overtime where San Francisco went 1 of 9 from the field, if I remember right. So overall, the job got done. CMOS Lukosius continues to hit big-time shots like he has all season. And Bearcats continue. So they'll be back Saturday.
Only thing I want to say is, JT, I picked John Newman to be the player to watch for the game. And I'm like, he's like 0 for 9. I'm like, well, that was a bad pick. Just offensively, at least. You know what I mean? I'm like,
yeah.
I'm like the jinx continues. That I might have had the worst pick of the whole season in terms of like players to watch. And he was like 0 for. Has he gone 0 for at all this year? Like, is that the first time he's ever went 0 for?
I think that's the first time he went 0 for this season.
Yeah, it's got to be.
Yeah, that's
it's got to be.
Was he 0 for 10 for the game? Because I know he's 0 for 9 at some point at the end.
He was 0 for 10.
0 for 10, 0 points. Yeah, I don't think we'll see that again. Like, I'm not going to pick him as my player to watch when we get to the next segment this time, but I can see him trying to rebound from that type of game and coming out more aggressively, getting to the bucket, trying to get some easy shots this next game here. But, sure. Yeah, only other thing I want to add is, first of all, I mean, we can talk about CMOS, you know, forever. Obviously played a good game. Great to see him do the things we talked about early in the season, pre the first game. We talked about him potentially at times being the leading scorer. Remember we talked about that?
Yeah. Sure.
You know, and now it's coming to fruition. So that's good to see. But I do want to talk about Jizzle. And he's got that, like, elbow fadeaway down.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? He'll do a couple moves, a little counter. Then he's got that little fade at the elbow. You can tell he's must have taking 20,000 of those in the offseason. JT, he's money with that shot.
Yeah, mid-range. That mid-range, the elbow mid-range. Once he gets there, like, if he's set, like, you can almost count it. Like, it was one. He didn't even have it in the shooting pocket. I was like, that's cash. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like I see how his feet were set. I was like, and the dude, like, he got some separation on him. Like, that's going in. You know what I mean? Like, it's just a good shot for him. Love that shot. But yeah, it's money. You can tell that's what he works on a lot. And that's a lost art, man. A lot of people, it's either layup, floater, three nowadays. Mm-hmm. And it's good. The mid-range, if you go 0 for 10 from three, and you could have made 4 mid-range shots, that's normally, you know, the reason why some teams lose.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So I think it's a lost art, and that's one of the things I like about Jizzle's game.
And I think the thing that Jizzle is going to need to work on in the offseason to make him one of those quote-unquote unguardable players, because, you know, when you think about Kyrie Irving, like, can we say if he's got the ball like on that perimeter, he's almost unguardable at times because he's just got so much to his bag.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I call him the king of the counter because, you know, he'll hit you with that crossover. And just when you think you're done with that crossover and you lunge, boom, he'll hit you with a hezzy, and then he'll hit you with something else. There's so many counters to his game.
Yep.
Shoot the three, he can hit the mid. And then if Kyrie gets to the lane, man, he's arguably one of the best small finishers in the history of basketball. I'm not putting him up with anybody. So,
100%.
Right? So I think Jizzle has to, you know, concentrate on that this offseason to have those counters, but then to have success off of those counters. So if it's to the basket, being able to finish and finish at a high level, or, you know, if it's that continue to hit that mid range, which he does well. So if he's able to do that at all three levels, he's going to be so tough. And then it, you know, you hope at some point he then becomes almost unguardable to some. And I would say that, I don't know if you guys agree with this or not. I could be the only one that thinks this, but I felt like last year, David DeJulius, he got to that point, man. He has so many damn moves. Like, you know what I'm saying? And he would get, sometimes he'd fall in love with the step back three, but man, he could get cooking, man. It was like, you didn't know what the defender didn't know what he was going to do. He has so much confidence. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Where you just know, like, you get to a certain spot, like, it's almost automatic.
And I think Jizzle can get there, and I really felt it during that San Francisco game. He hit that mid, and he hit a couple, and I'm just like, man, he works on the counters and gets to the bucket, works on the woof.
Yeah. Man,
he's going to be tough. So, but the Bearcats take on Bradley on Saturday at 2 p.m. in the beautiful Fifth Third Arena. You're listening to the Bearcat Tip-Off Talk podcast presented by Donahue Accounting Services. Let's jump into the Big O segment sponsored by Smart Dog Solutions. In this segment, we cover players to watch in key matchups. JT, it's on you. Who should we watch out for from the Bearcats?
Man, good question. I'm going to go the easy route. I could double up and go Dan again, but I'm going CMOS.
What's CMOS?
The reason why.
I knew
he had a hell of a game, right? He just had a hell of a game where the dude, he might still be shooting threes in Fifth Third Arena that's going in with two people running at him as we speak. Mm-hmm. So I feel like maybe he won't go 28, but I want to see if he doubles up and goes 20, gets 20 to 22.
Yeah, you know, JT, real quick, you know, so here's the thing. I think here's the beauty of what CMOS has done, not only this game, but recently. So now Bradley's going to have that scouted, and they're going to run at him. They're going to run a lot of things
to
prevent CMOS. So that's going to open it up for somebody else.
For sure.
I mean,
for sure.
Right? If Bradley doesn't, they're stupid. I'm going to say somebody.
Yeah, 100%. No, you have to run him off the three-point line, and I want to see him cook the floater, mid-range, and then I think he'll get a lot of assists. So I think even if he doesn't, but I still want to see him get a strong, if they run him off, a strong 15-plus. Because then reason why is because next year the Bearcats, like, everything is building. Because, like, with Dan, I feel like once the Big 12 season hit, he just started building. Even if he had a rough night, he still was getting real quality numbers. Mm-hmm. So that's one of the things that is good. Because sometimes you need a person that's still going to get you that 10 to 15 no matter what. Like, you need to count that. Like, soon as somebody walks in the gym, that's 10 points. Or that's, you know, so now if we can start counting on, no matter what, CMOS is going to get you 15 to 20, and then you get a jump with Dan. You know what I mean? So I just think now with everybody looking at CMOS, if he still can get you 15, I want to still see him get 20 tomorrow against Bradley, no matter what. And if that happens, I just feel so much better. I mean, for NIT in general, but just for the team as a whole, because you got two ascending players that are just getting better, and you see it. And then I just feel like Jizzle, you know, Jizzle's another kid that's just, I feel like, young man that is just going to keep getting better too. So, not to get long-winded, I just feel like if you see that consistency, I want to see, I feel like he didn't score as much after he went crazy against West Virginia. So I want to see him double up. Give me 220 balls in a row.
I hope so. And, you know, and the more and more, I think the NIT is important. I know I think Wes might have talked about the NIT in one of his pressers, but, like, this is so good for these guys that are coming back for next year to continue. Like, why would you not want to coach these guys and help continue to build that continuity? Because we've talked about it before, and I think we're all in agreement that next year is the year. Like,
yep,
your pieces are in place. We got the conference. We got everything we need. Next year's the year. So why not continue to play in a tournament like the NIT to build that continuity, that momentum, get some guys some more reps, and just get more time to coach those guys. So, Neil, I don't know anything about Bradley. I have not seen them play all year. Couldn't tell you one guy on their team. So we're depending on you. Who do we need to look out for from Bradley?
Yeah, well, first of all, Bradley is in the Missouri Valley Conference, where they had a very, very good season, 23-11 on the season. But looking down at their schedule as we speak, doing a little bit of March Madness kind of things, looking at their schedule, they have two wins versus teams that are in the tournament as we speak. They beat Utah State, who is in the tournament, and then they beat UAB, who is in the tournament, and both of those wins were by a combined 8 points, so they're a good team. 23-11, they're coming off a big win versus Loyola Chicago in the opening round of the NIT, where they defeated Loyola by score of 74-62. However, this is a Bradley team that somebody in particular on this UC staff spent his last 7 years at, and that's Coach Drew Adams. Coach Adams came to Cincinnati after spending 7 seasons at Bradley University from 2015 to 2022. So he knows a lot about this program. Obviously, he was a key piece to rebuilding Bradley's rebuild, where they were able to go on and win consecutive Missouri Valley Conference championships for the first time in program history. So obviously, there's a lot of connection here at this in this matchup. But Bradley is led by point guard Connor Hickman, as he is averaging 14.5 points per game, and he is shooting 46% from the field and 41% from behind the arc. So this is a guy who can really beat you from, he can shoot the ball from all different levels. He's a good scorer, but he's not the only guy on this Bradley team that is averaging in double digits, as they have four players, matter of fact, averaging in double digits. And that is Duke Dean is averaging 14.2, where he's shooting 45% from the field, 40% from three. So they are a good shooting team, to say the least. And then Malivi Leones, oh, that's a tough name there, is averaging.
And name game ain't even started yet.
But I think he is the guy that keeps Bradley going. He's a 6'9" forward, and he is averaging 14.6 per game. He's the team's leading rebounder, 7 rebounds a game. That is a big matchup to keep an eye on. He is the guy in the front court who can do a lot of different things for Bradley, who will open up some offense. And then they also have another forward in Darius Hanna, who is also averaging close to 7 points a game. So they're long, they're lengthy. This is like another San Francisco squad. They have great length, great size. Pause. But they can really
pause that. I'm glad you paused that.
He doubled up.
They can really, can really defend the 3-point line. And if that is something they can do really well, it's hopefully that's their game plan now, is to kind of, for Bradley's sake, they're going to try to find ways to keep Simas Lukosius off the 3-point line. And hopefully the ball is in favor of Simas Lukosius again for another dominant performance. But This is a team that can really defend the three ball. They're shooting 40 or close to 40% as a team from behind the arc, shooting 48% from the field for Bradley. So this is a team that's really doing a lot of things right, but it's going to be one of those interesting matchups here at Fifth Third Arena on Saturday. However, I'll give my player to watch for Cincinnati. I'm going to go with Jizzle James. And the reason I say that is just due to the uncertain status of Day-Day Thomas following the injury. I think this could be the breakout game for a guy like Jizzle James.
All right. You know what time it is. The name of the game. Shirley, all right, Bearcat fans. It is time for the name game with Neil Meyer. This is where we take the opposing team's roster and have Neil Meyer pronounce their names. We've had some pretty crazy ones. I thought last the San Francisco one was tough. I think we got some tough ones here on the Baylor roster. So let's start with that. Neil, you ready?
Yes, sir.
Let's start with number one.
Number one, DeMarion Birch.
Number one.
Oh, number one is Almar Atlason. I was looking at number zero.
And where is Almar from?
He is from Iceland.
Iceland. I don't think I've ever met a human being from Iceland. I need to, like, just meet him, just say hello, just so I can say I met somebody from Iceland. Number four.
Number four is Amat Janovic, and he is from Prijepolje, Serbia.
Bro, you had to say that again?
Prijepolje, Serbia.
JT, it is spelled Prijepolje.
Ooh-wee.
Lee's right. Man, I don't think I want to visit Prijepolje. Yeah, I don't want to go there.
Yeah,
we're going to skip that. Number 12.
Number 12 is Cade Hartke.
Say last name. I like that.
Hartke.
I like that.
Oh snap!
This one wasn't that tough. I wrote this down. What you say?
It ain't tough. I know what you saying about to say that one ain't tough, but it's tight.
Number 14
is Malivi Leones.
Where's he from?
Ijmuiden, Netherlands. Looks like he's going to have an own clothing line based off his major here. That's pretty dope. Apparel production and merchandising.
Oh, that is tight.
Hey, man.
It's got to be dripping.
He out here.
Do your thing. Do your thing. Now, number 25.
Number 25 is Goenar Belu.
He's just from Iowa.
Yep, yeah, Denison, Iowa.
But I'm going to say he's probably originally from Africa.
Yeah. Gotta be, right?
Do you see this roster, JT?
Yeah, I'm on it.
Yeah, click on him. He can't be from Iowa.
He is away from Iowa.
But we got.
He can't be literally from Iowa. Like, they. I don't know.
There's no way. No way. It says he was actually born in Omaha, Nebraska. Son of Kuk and Nyantat.
He has eight siblings, too.
Yo, they're definitely from Africa.
So you see the illest dude from Nebraska? Nah, he ain't the illest. He might want one of the ill ones, though. He might want the illest.
Man. Hey, Neil, pronounce his siblings.
His siblings are Naeliam Chow, Nihil, Kong, Omaha, Bengek, Victoria, and Rachel.
Hey. How'd it go from African to like white?
Yeah, that's crazy.
He said, yo, your name is more Rachel.
They ran out of African names. They was like, man, F it.
Rachel.
They said, fuck it, Rachel. Let's just rock with it. You know what I'm saying? I got a few good friends named Rachel, so Rachel's a cool name, but it's still crazy they went from all those names to Rachel.
Omaha, though. The one Omaha. Kid's in Omaha. I rock with that. I like that.
Omaha.
Omaha.
Oh, man. Dang. All right. So I don't know if it's parallel to what this, what that brought this into. My bad. But like my dude, damn, I don't know. I'll talk to you afterwards. But my dude, he posted like this picture of this lady that had a mustache, right? Mm. And she had kids or whatever. And it was a joke. It was a meme. And what did I say? I said, damn, she was the mom and the dad, huh? Right? That's stupid. So, all right, which is, all right, you know, I have a crazy sense of humor, so you know what I mean? But why did the like one of the kids like comment on it?
Oh, the kids saw it?
Yeah. I guess it must have like really went viral. Like, I looked at my comments like maybe a week later, and the lady was like, said something. I was like, I can't address this. I feel terrible. But it still was funny, though. Like, I don't care. It's funny, man. Everybody got their shortcomings. Like, I walk funny. You know what I mean? Like, shit. Everybody got shortcomings, bro. Like, Absolutely. If my mom had a mustache, I would, it's just, it is what it is. I had to eat it.
How big was the mustache?
Man, it was bigger. It was thicker than mine.
What?
I'm gonna show you the picture. I'm gonna forward both of y'all the IG post. And it wasn't like I was like, I don't know. I didn't say she's the mom. I'll do it again. But it still was crazy though. Like when I was like, damn, that's one of the kids. But it was like little when the picture was posted. And they gotta be like at least my age or older.
Was the mustache trimmed up or was it just like the mom in Friday After Next?
It was like the mom in Friday After Next.
Ooh.
Or the one, you know, the one that was trying to give a Willie.
Yeah, yeah. And then
it might have been thicker than that one for real.
Epps was like, you need to trim up.
It was crazy. I just had to put that out there. It was on my heart after once you went to the siblings part.
Are you apologizing about it?
Man, I gotta ride with it.
You okay. Okay.
Cause I'm not being like this, like your mom's a bad person. She just had a mustache.
Now, I don't know how this podcast got to some mom's mustache, but we are here.
Yep.
We are here. And the Big O segment is sponsored by Smart Dog Solutions. So quickly, my player to watch is going to be Big Millie, Jameel Reynolds, and here's why. I like what I saw not only last game, but the last couple games where I think there was a conscious effort to throw him the ball in the post and let him go to work. I remember one time Day-Day had the ball on the left wing, and he purposely dribbled a little bit more to the right just to give Jameel a little bit more space in the post. He threw it to him in the post, and everybody moved out of the way to let Jameel cook. And I'm liking that more and more. I think it opens it up for a lot of other players when you throw it down low. And if you throw it to a Jameel and he turns and scores, now what happens is they're going to have to double down at some point. And so who do they double off of? And then now that person has an opportunity to get a shot or, you know. And Jameel's a willing passer out of the post. It's not like he catches it and he's firing it up every single time. Like, he's willing, if he sees the double, you pass to where the double came from. I think he's willing to do that. So for this game, I think I would like to see the Bearcats have a happy diet of throwing the basketball to Jameel in the post. Him go to work with, you know, turning, you know, left shoulder, throwing up a right jump hook or seeing the double and kicking it out. So my guy's going to be Big Millie. The Big O segment is sponsored by Smart Dog Solutions. Do you have a business that needs better inventory control, production management, or improved accounting control? Outgrown QuickBooks or can't afford NetSuite? Give Lowell Bearcat grads Doug and Kathy Jacobs at Smart Dog Solutions a call. They've been in your position and would love to help you solve your problems. You can contact them at 513-739-9473 or online at smartdog-solutions.com. You're listening to the Bearcat Tip-Off Talk podcast presented by Donahue Accounting Services. Now, the Kenyon segment is sponsored by Greg Hooden at Beachmont Toyota. This is where we cover the keys to the game. JT, what did the Bearcats need to do to win?
All right. So, two things. Control the lob pass.
wait. They did it again, man. Last game.
They did a lot, man. Like, it was bad. So, like, I'm saying, like, control the lob pass. Like, I don't want to see more than five lobs.
man.
Like, I just don't. But
I'm with you. No, I'm with you.
And I love the live pass. I love the live pass, but just come on, guys. And then not with that, I'm going into turnovers. They only had 13 last night, I want to say. I don't have the stats in front of me, and I'm being lazy. So sorry about that, everybody. And but the turnovers they had were so unforced. It seemed like they had 30.
Yeah. Yep.
You know what I mean? So they – I don't mind the 13, but please, can it be at least a forced turnover? Like, these turnovers are, like, non-forced and just be smart with the ball. I feel like they can have games where they have less than 8 turnovers if they just control the silly turnovers. So that's my thing in a nutshell. And then also, I just feel like they have to win the rebounding battle. I didn't like that San Francisco tied with them against them on Wednesday night. So they have to, they need to just dominate this team from the jump, especially on the glass. That's the main thing. Cause I feel like if they do that, they'll be able to get easier shots, keep them one and done, and go from there. But the turnovers, they got to control the style of turnovers because now the numbers have been a little bit lower, but I feel like they just throw it out of bounds for no reason. You know what I mean? So, yep. So that part, they got to control. And those are the two things, out-rebound Bradley and just stop the unforced turnovers.
Yep. Now, Neil, so I don't know much about Bradley. You informed us on Bradley. If you're playing at this point in March, you're doing something right. If you're in the second round of any tournament, you're doing something right. However, I feel like this is a game the Bearcats can win. But my question for you is, what do the Bearcats need to do to win big?
Yeah, so for them to win big, let's start with this one. Let's make our free throws. I think that would be a good start. You get to the line, you can really get them in foul trouble early. Finish your free throws. That was a big thing that led to the result we were in last night. And that was when Aziz missed the free throw at the end. It resulted in a 3 to tie the game. But you're up 9. You missed a couple free throws and it allowed them to claw back in. So last night they went, despite Cincinnati going 10 for 14, the biggest miss from the foul line came there towards the end of regulation. So if you can have another one of those performances where you're shooting above 70% from the foul line, that is in great standings. But JT talked about it. I would like to see them contain the lob, but also keep the turnover number down. Under 10, obviously that would be a big thing. They had 13 versus San Francisco. You can keep the turnovers down. Let's try to aim for under 10. If they keep them under 10, I think it would be a decent margin of victory for Cincinnati. But also, for them, I think it's just playing their style of play. Obviously, people are now noticing what the Bearcats offense is capable of doing, but they just got to play their game. They can't come out and be putting up shots early in the shot clock. They play to their advantage, which I think they have another one here versus Bradley. However, they play to their advantage. They limit the turnovers. You win the rebounding margin. That's something we've been talking about all season, about how they're so dominant on the offensive boards. And on in terms of the glass, if you can win the battle of the glass, limit your turnovers, make your free throws, I think it would be a great margin of victory for Cincinnati. I think if they do all three of those, I think this is a game where they can definitely win by double digits, to say the least.
The Kenyon segment is sponsored by Greg Hooden at Beachmont Toyota. So I've got just two things for this game. One is defense. Just, you know, let's lock in and play solid defense. Once again, I don't know much about Bradley other than what you've told me, Neil, but I would love for the Bearcats to play that typical Bearcat tough defense. And then the second is something we talked about before we actually jumped on this podcast, and that is, you know, at this point, playing in the NIT, you know, you make it to the second round. We've talked about this. Once you get that first win out of the way, it's almost like one of the most important games. You got to win the first one, and now guys want to continue to play, and hopefully these guys want to continue to get better and not be worried. You know, everybody's watching the NCAA tournament right now, and that's where all the hype is. The hype's not with the NIT per se, but it's do these young men want it bad enough? And I think if they want it, they're going to win this basketball game. If they want it, I think at the end of the day, they can raise that trophy in Indianapolis as the champions of the NIT. We know they're capable. They can play with anybody. They can beat anybody. So I just think it comes down to that will and want to continue to play and be great. And so hopefully this is a game, Bradley, and then the next couple, however many games are left, that they can build that momentum that leads to next season. The Kenyon segment, Keys to the Game, is sponsored by Greg Hooden at Beachmont Toyota. Come see fellow Bearcat Greg Hooden at Beachmont Toyota for all your Toyota needs, cars, trucks, and SUVs. Greg Hooden at Beachmont Toyota is ready to help you get into your new Toyota. You're listening to the Bearcat Tip-Off Talk podcast presented by Donahue Accounting Services. The Twyman segment is sponsored by Visionary Cleaners. This is where we cover hot topics. So my hot topic is this. I just talked about the NCAA tournament. I know the Bearcats are playing in the NIT, but everyone gets really excited this time of year. You know, St. Patrick's Day just happened. Everybody was out drinking green beer, and now you're filling out a bracket. You're jumping in pools, not literally like a pool, but you're jumping in March Madness pools to try to win. So my question for you, JT, and also Neil, but we're going to start with you, JT, is, have you ever won a March Madness pool? If you have, if you won multiple ones or got a great story behind winning one of the March Madness pools? JT?
Man, so my memory is shot with the pools, but I won a multiple. Like, normally I've done a couple with my wife. We normally do one this year, like where we go against each other, but we used to do that. But then with my homies from school, from college, we do one every year, and I won multiple ones of those, but I can't remember. What's cool about that is like bragging rights with your friends, and then you get a little bit of money, so that's cool too. Everybody loves money, but in to talk stuff to your friends, so that was cool. But I can't remember. The sad thing is I have no tight story with it. Like, I can't remember what team I picked. I can't remember who got upset. None of that stuff, because it all runs together, and when you're covering sports all the time, sometimes it's all a blur. So, like, I don't know. The older I'm getting, I guess I'm just like, doing so much stuff. Yeah, for real, man. For real. Definitely getting old out here. So it's all a blur. Like, I think I remember like my kid stuff more than like other stuff. You know what I mean? So it's bad. I don't have no tight story, but I've won probably like two or three with my friends. So that's cool. Cool enough with me. And then I like, yeah, that's it. I can't think of anything else. I remember I picked a couple of sweet upsets before. So people like, was that Furman that won that one year? Was it last year or the year before?
Yeah, that was last year.
Last year. I picked Furman.
Over Virginia. Frauds.
Yeah, I picked Furman.
Frauds.
Yeah, I just went off of the strength that Virginia scores like 10 points a game.
Man.
Bro, we got robbed of an Indiana.
They scored 14 points and a half, bro. Like, that is like
that is like middle school level.
No, that's like fourth grade. Players do that. Like, they do that, and that's cool. And then fourth graders score more than 14 sometimes.
Well, let me say something about that real quick, though. And I got – this was a couple years back. Virginia – Virginia's been like that for a while under that coach. Like, but what were we gonna say,
yes.
JT?
Yes, go ahead. I'm gonna piggyback off what you're about to say too, because I got something to say about Virginia. And
I got blasted one time on Twitter because, I mean, Virginia's game, I forget when it was. I think it was the NCAA tournament. I mean, it was like, number one, it was a snooze fest.
Yeah.
There was a low scoring game, and people were like, oh, this is a great defensive battle. No, it's not. They can't
score. They was probably shooting bricks the whole time.
I can't stand that this is a great defensive battle. No, it's not.
No. Nah.
Like, this is a defensive battle. I played for Bob Huggins and some great defensive teams. That was not a great defensive battle I watched. That was bad offense, period.
bricks. So the thing about it, because they won the championship, what, 2-3 years ago?
Longer than that? They won it the year Kyle Guy. I think that was 2019. Okay. It was before COVID.
Right, before COVID. Okay. So they had a couple people. Didn't they have, was Brogdon on that team or that a year after he left?
Year after.
With the, who's okay. The kid with the, that had the blonde hair? The
Kite?
The blonde fro?
The yeah, big.
Mamadi Diakite. Yeah, that was 2020.
Okay.
That
okay.
Was the same. No, that was the same squad with Kyle Guy.
Yeah, he was. Yeah, he was there. So, like the thing. Okay, we know we talk about NIL and stuff like that, bro. Like, I don't care how much money you give me, I'm not going to play for him.
No.
You can. If somebody can be offering me $2 million, he could be offering me $2 million, and the other offer can be $600,000. I'm going to the $600,000. Because, bro, like, you that money, because you're not going to see any more money. Like, you come in there averaging 7 points, and you've played 40 minutes, 7 points and 3 assists. Like, you're not going to the NBA.
That
style is not appealing. And the NIL thing, like, dog, like, they got to have the best NIL stipend in the world to get some top, some quality kids in there. Because we scoring 14 points in an NCAA tournament game in 2024. Dog, that's crazy. Come on, man. Crazy. This ain't like, imagine if they didn't have a shot clock.
Man.
Oh, but they would have scored that. They would have 7 points.
Man. Yeah.
All right, that's the end of my rant, but that's just terrible, dog. Like, you could not convince me. Like, my son could have an offer to Virginia with him as the coach. All right, the next offer can be D2. Son, go to the D2 coach. You can score and play some offense. You don't want to play defense and not have a chance to score.
I'm with you. Now, Neil, have you won a March Madness pool in any memorable games, wins that you predicted?
Yeah, so I actually won one when I was back in, I believe it was 7th or 8th grade. Obviously following it, college basketball closely, but mostly back then, being so young, it was basically luck of the draw. Hate to say it. You're just kind of looking at the bracket. You're like, oh, this is the higher seed. I'm going to look there. Obviously, it's different now looking at the analyticals and stuff. But, yeah, so that was in my dad's work league. So the work pool at my father's work. That was, I believe it was my 7th or 8th grade year. I can't remember. I think that was close to, should have been 2013, I believe. It was either 2012 or 2013. I can't remember if that was the Anthony Davis Kentucky year or the following year. There was a lot of games after it, though. I think that was my best run with the March Madness bracket. Obviously, now on a different side of things, I think I only filled out one bracket this year, and I think it's probably going to be a bust. Well, it probably is a bust now that Kentucky let somebody shoot 23 pointers a night where he buries 10 of them. So I think my bracket's already shot for this year. So not really going to pay much more attention to my bracket this year, because that's out the door. But overall, I think that was my best year in terms of bracket. And I hate to say it, but it was when I was younger, and I was just following the names, playing the higher seed game. Haven't had any luck since then.
So you're only in one right now?
I was in one right now, and I believe I had Kentucky winning it all, if I remember right. Which ain't happening no more after Oakland beat them tonight. So I think I'm going to avoid that thing for the next few weeks.
Tear that sucker up. So, first of all, well, several things. I am so bad at the brackets, like picking teams. I think I, because being a basketball guy, I'm not trying to say I'm the smartest guy in the world when it comes to breaking down basketball, but I overthink a lot of the matchups in the tournament. I'm like, well, they've got a big here and they don't have this, blah, blah, blah. I'm overthinking it, because one time I remember I did a bracket. This was years ago. And I'm like, man, this is a great bracket. Like, I was like, man, I think this is probably the best bracket I've ever picked. Put a lot of thought into it. And then I asked my dad to fill one out. He filled one out, thought it was really good. He had a good bracket as well. And then I randomly just asked my mom to fill one out. She doesn't watch basketball at all. Doesn't know if I gave her a bracket right now, she would know 70% of the teams on there. She might know some of the big teams, but so she starts picking teams, JT, and she's like, what color are their uniforms? Like, I go light blue. Ooh, they're going to win. And then she's like, what color is theirs? Purple. Ooh, you know, I love me some purple. And I'm like, this is what we're doing here, huh? And between my dad and I, who watch basketball a lot, guess who had the best bracket?
Moms.
Moms, who was picking teams off of her favorite color. No joke. And I'm just like, this is the – that's when I got really frustrated. So then I stopped doing it. I got really frustrated. And my mom thought it was funny, though. She was like, oh, you guys think you know everything about – I'm like, okay. So I got super frustrated, and so I stopped filling out a bracket. And then I got this intern one year, great kid. And he's like, Meech, will you help me out with my bracket? And I'm like, nah, I can't, man. I don't fill them out anymore. I'm really bad at them. I'd probably mess your bracket up more than I would help it. So I said, my advice is you just do it on your own. And he's like, no, I want you to fill one out. And I was like, no, man, I'm not doing one. And he's like, no. He's like, here's what we do. I'll fill one out, you fill one out, and we'll compare them. And just make it between you and I. And like, he's like a sophomore in high school, and he's just so excited. I was like, all right, I'll do it. So he filled one out, and I'm filling it out. And I'm kind of like talking through it in my head, like who's playing who. And I'll never forget this. So I see a team on there, and I'm like, ooh, I watched them the other night, man, and they look tough. I mean, they got some players on that team. And so he's like, I don't even know who that is. So I was like, I think they're gonna win this first round game. And then get to the second round, I'm like, ooh, I don't know if they can beat this team, but you never know. I'm gonna pick them because there's got to be a Cinderella.
Yeah.
So I picked this team to go all the way to the Final Four. And this really happened. So my Final Four consisted, and I'll tell you the team is in a second. It consisted of this team I'm talking about. And then three others were like, you know, your normal teams. I think Louisville, not Louisville. I forget who the other team that was really good at the time. So the other three teams were really good. That one team was my Cinderella. But anyway, so I happened to have to go on. I went on radio the next day. I was on 700 WLW talking with Kim Brew and his radio show. And we were talking about the Bearcats. And Kim Brew was like, who did you pick for your Final Four? And I said, Ken, I don't fill out a bracket anymore. He's like, oh, you got to give me just four. And I said, well, I said, funny you asked me that because I did a bracket with my intern. He's like, oh, well, who'd you have in there? So I say the first three, and he's like, yeah, that makes sense. And I was like, and then Wichita State. He was like, what? He was like, Wichita State? And I was like, yeah. I was like, man, I watched them earlier this year. So I think they played like Creighton on TV or something like that, and they won. And I was like, man, I thought they were really good. He was like, nah. So Kim Brew was like kind of dogging on me. And I was like, yeah, whatever. So – man, game one, Wichita State, boom, wins the first game. And I'm like, okay. Then they got to go against the Zags, Gonzaga, number one seed. Boom, beat them. I'm like cooking with grease now, JT.
Yeah.
Then they got to play, and I don't know if you remember this, but Wichita State ended up playing LaSalle. And LaSalle had made like a Cinderella run. And I'm like, oh, they're gonna beat LaSalle. That's a good matchup for them. Boom. Smack LaSalle.
Yeah. Smack.
Then they got Ohio State. Now, you know I'm really cheering for Wichita State to beat Ohio State. Beat Ohio State. And I'm like, and so I text Ken Brew. I'm like, yeah, man, you got to get. And they make it to the Final Four. I'm like, yeah, Ken, you got to get me back on the show because I got some words for you. So I ended up having a better bracket than my intern. He was like, how did you know Wichita State was? And I'm like, dude, this is why I don't fill out a bracket, because I literally saw them play one time against a good Creighton team and was like, oh, they're good. I just picked them. I could have picked LaSalle. I was like, this does not make me smart. I just I'm lucky that I picked them, right?
It's all up.
You know what I'm saying? It's just crazy how that works. So I told you guys before we started the pod, I haven't even looked at a bracket. I don't even know who all's in it. What are the different matchups? I just haven't even really looked at it in depth. But man, I've honestly given up doing these brackets and stuff. So I'm done. I've never won one. Never won money. Doing one. JT, you said you've won multiple ones. So
yeah, I won multiple.
You go with,
like two or three for sure. Like far as like with like a lot of people, with a respectable amount of people.
Gotcha.
And I'll run one a few just like me and another person.
The tournament segment is sponsored by Visionary Cleaners. So hey, my last question before we jump off, and let's kind of do this quickly here. And that is, JT, pick the winner for the NCAA tournament. Who's going to win it all?
Shit. This is a multiple choice question, but I ain't going to lie. I got my main bracket. I got North Carolina winning it all.
No. I'm talking about all the money's on the line, JT. You got to pick one team. All the money's on the line.
All the money on the line with a gun to my head. Shit. I
hope that doesn't happen, but yeah.
I know, right? Don't want that. Have a gun to my head, UConn.
Okay. Neil?
I got to go with UConn, too.
I'm same. I watched them twice this year.
Yeah, they're impressive.
Man, yeah, and it just so happens the two games I watched, I can't remember who they played, but they were like, I turned it off. I'm like, these dudes.
It's crazy to think Tristan Newton started his career at ECU, too.
JT's favorite school.
Yeah. No.
JT, I'm going to get you an ECU hoodie for Christmas.
No, I don't do that, man. Wasting cat. That's wasting hard-earned money, man. No.
I'm going to get you an ECU hoodie with
Jimmy T-shirt.
I'm going to get you their attendance number on the back of the hoodie. So I'm going to get like
that'd be fire. I'll wear that, actually.
Attendance for the year, for the entire season. Yeah, yeah. Like
the entire attendance from the like 2023 to 2024 season would not equivalent to what was at T-Mobile Arena last week.
That's crazy.
I wonder how they sell tickets. Like, do they, like, you know how, like, you see, like,
Them students probably getting 3 to 4 tickets a game and they're not even showing up.
You know how you promote, like, they promote it and then it'd be gone and, you know, people are like asking when the tickets are going to be on sale and
XYZ. It's probably on StubHub or SeatGeek for like $2.
They're giving them away.
Do they have scalpers there?
No, man, there's no way they have scalpers.
Hey, scalpers there hustling back. Like you scalp an ECU game, like you damn near, like you a real live loser.
You are well done.
Like you need to be on like Law and Order or something. Like something's wrong with you mentally. Like you know that Michael Jordan, get help.
Michael's old drug commercial.
Yeah. Get help. Stop. Get help.
Neil, you weren't alive for that one.
No. Were
you? You're not familiar with that one, are you?
No.
Hey, that and then when he talked about gambling on a Ahmad Rashad. Ah, man.
I don't know. What an interview he did?
Yeah, you remember that when it was on The Last Dance? But I remember seeing that interview as a kid, though.
Where they asked him about the gambling?
Yeah, and he got the shades on.
Oh, I know what you're talking. I know exactly what you're talking about. That was actually an NBC interview.
Yeah, I know. It was NBC. It was like literally. Yeah.
I remember that because he had the shades on. Yeah.
He had the shades on.
And I went out and bought those shades at Claire's Boutique in the mall. Remember Claire's Boutique?
Yeah, Claire's tight. Hey, that was, man, those memes on that one was hilarious when people got a hold of that one.
Yeah, man.
Mike, stop it.
You know, I want to say this, and we'll exit off the pod. But isn't it crazy? It's always been crazy to me that when you think about Michael Jordan, I think he's synonymous with winning. You guys agree with that? He's a winner.
True.
Right? And there might not be in all of team sports, just, I mean, obviously Tom Brady, but somebody you just think of, like, when somebody does something great, you're like, oh, he's the Michael Jordan or she's the Michael Jordan of this, right? That's like the ultimate. And the Jordan crying meme is so opposite of what he is. Like, they always use it on a loser.
Yeah.
You know, I'm like, that's what, that was why that meme was always wild to me. Have you ever seen that? And they interviewed the guy that actually took that picture.
No.
So that was his Hall of Fame speech.
That's what I thought. Yeah, definitely thought that's what it was.
And the guy who took the picture, and then the, you know, when the meme started, he's like, people were telling him, like, yo, everybody's using your picture. And he's like, what? He's like, the guy who took the picture couldn't understand it. Like, he wasn't, like, I think he wasn't young enough to.
To get the.
Yeah.
The phenomenon.
But I'm always was fascinated with that meme. It's like they take the Jordan crying meme and they put it on like a loser, or now that's related to losing. I'm like, but yet he's the biggest winner. I always was confused with that. I'm like, that's crazy to me. Like, who was the first person to use the Jordan crying meme?
That's a good question.
And I honestly, it got to the point I was like, this may never die.
Yeah.
But it has. Like, I don't see it anymore.
Yeah, it definitely calmed down for sure.
I saw a guy one time. He had on, he must have got this at some hood gas station. He had a jacket on with the crying meme all over his jacket.
Nah, man.
There must have been 50 crying memes all over his jacket. I'm like, bro, where did you get that from? Like,
wow.
And the fact you bought it. Like, yeah, this is it.
Yeah, that's crazy.
It's super, super crazy. The Twyman segment is sponsored by Visionary Cleaners. Visionary Cleaners is a locally owned company by former Bearcats student athletes. They specialize in high quality commercial cleaning of businesses, apartment, pre and post construction cleans. They can be reached at 513-388-7816 or contacted online at visionarycleaners.com. Fellas, this concludes another great podcast. Thanks to all of our sponsors, Donahue Accounting Services, Smart Dog Solutions, Greg Hooden at Beachmont Toyota, and Visionary Cleaners. You're listening to the Bearcat Tip-Off Talk podcast presented by Donahue Accounting Services. For friendly expert tax advice whenever you need it, come to Donahue Accounting Services. A leading accounting firm in Cincinnati, Ohio, our top-notch accountants strive to help you resolve all your financial and tax issues. Call Donahue Accounting Services today for a free consultation at 513-528-3982 or visit online at DonahueAccountingService.com. We want to thank all the Bearcat fans out there for listening to another episode of the Bearcat Tip-Off Talk podcast. Go Bearcats!